funny after this. So, you know, Bronny's going to benefit either way he goes because of his dad. But honestly, that cat's not ready to go.
Yeah. So we will keep things with the NBA and playoffs are in the NBA season is coming to an end. So guys, April 14th, I believe that's the last game of this NBA regular season, am I correct?
Yes.
April 14th, that's Sunday, that's tomorrow.
Oh, we gotta get out that play in situation.
We got this is gonna take up the rest. This is gonna take up the rest of the segment. We're gonna later on this afternoon, we're gonna come back like around 2:30 and we're gonna chop it up about the NFL. We're gonna chop it up about the NFL and then we're gonna go off the rails after that. Who knows we're gonna have, but the second show this afternoon, we're gonna get into some football because we're not gonna have time. We got talking about the NBA playoffs going on right now. If the playoffs ended today, there'll be a three-way tie first place in the West. That, I don't know. I'm not going to sit up here and try to map the math between today and tomorrow because I don't know how or if that can change or not. Maybe you guys can help me out with that a little bit.
Yeah, anything could change. Well, now you got to keep an eye on the 8, 9, and 10 seeds too.
Yeah,
well, Kev, go ahead and do that math. You like that dude? You like that dude that's on there? He do the politics and he do the NFL draft, whatever it is, where he get to doing numbers to 15 win. This is what's happening. Right. I ain't trying to figure that mess out. I mean,
I'm
not either, baby. We got to talk about
I mean, I totally get it because it is definitely confusing. Like the first year they tried, it's like, wait a minute, how does this work again? But like I said, like once you get into it after a couple of years, it's the West is stacked, that's for sure. And so,
I want to bring up something real quick before we just dive into it because I don't know if you bring it up. You ain't saying nothing about your WrestleMania.
Oh, that was the first half hour.
Okay. I just want to make sure. And what about the UFC card that's going on tonight?
We can talk about the UFC real quick. 300 is tonight.
Yeah.
300.
Fight night, baby.
Fight night. 300. Like, wow. Now, this is huge. Yeah. So, yeah, Mark, you can have the floor on this one. So tell me, who's on the card?
They say I ain't going to lie to you. Mill knows this better than me.
All right, go ahead.
This is probably one of the most stacked cards I've ever seen.
Yes.
There is not a bad fight on this. There's about 9 fights. I'm like, man, this is going to be stacked.
I mean, you go all the way down. I mean, the early prelims got some people on there. Like, the very first fight is Deiveson Figueroa. The average UFC fighter has heard of him. And that's the first fight. He's taking on Cody Garbrandt. They're going to slug it out. Then Bobby Green, Jim Miller.
Jim Miller's tough.
Jim Miller is the OG. He's been around at UFC. We talk about UFC 300. Jim Miller's been around. He has had victories in UFC 100 and UFC 102. Let that sink in. The reason why I'm bringing him up because out of all the fights in this card, Jim Miller is the only one that he wants Bruce Buffer to announce his name as Jim Effing Miller.
Well, kind of like Seth Rollins, right?
Yeah, but he wants the whole F bomb in there.
Oh God!
So this is a crazy thing. It's got so much of buzz. There's a Vegas odd on it if Bruce Buffer's actually going to come through with it or not.
Are you serious?
Well, here's the thing that's crazy with this card coming up here, man.
Jesus,
it's like, how can I put it? There ain't a bad fight on it.
And yeah.
You got, I mean, the thing that sucks the worst for this whole thing, and they got to figure something out, man. I think this thing starts at like 9 o'clock tonight.
Nah, the early prelims, this got to start off like 4 or 5 o'clock.
Okay, because I was going to say, you got to have a fight party. You might as well tell everybody they're spending the night because by the time.
That's
the disadvantage. That's the disadvantage for me to be down here in Houston compared to in California. But, you know, you have a fight party. By the time the main event come on, everybody either already drunk or they sleep.
It's 12 fights.
Wow.
You got early prelims, then you got prelims, then you got the main card.
I got to see this dude, Jim Miller. Is he on the early prelims or prelims?
He is in the early prelims. He's a second fight on the card.
Well, yeah, there might be 12 people there by the time So if he say that F bomb at that point, ain't nobody hearing it anyway. But I'm going to have it on. But
And then you got Jessica Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez. Jessica Andrade is former bantamweight champion. That's going to be a slugfest.
Yeah, she's pretty tough.
Yes, Jalen Turner versus Renato Moicano. That's going to be a good one. Then got the prelims. The preacher's daughter's fight? Oh my God!
Yeah, I told you it's stacked, man.
Whoa.
Holly Holm versus Carla Harrison. And if y'all know who Holly Holm is, she is the first one to ever knock out Ronda Rousey.
Well, she basically stopped her career.
Ronda Rousey's UFC career was pretty much done after that.
That kick to the head ended her. We good?
Because the fight after that, my girl Amanda Nunes just put the hands on her and just put the nail in the coffin to her career after that. Calvin Kattar's Aljamain Sterling. There's another huge. There's huge numbers on that one too.
Yeah, Aljamain got to win that fight.
He has to win that one.
The airbender dude.
Nah, this one ain't got that. You think about it, Israel Adesanya.
Yeah.
Aljamain Sterling. He was the one who won the belt via disqualification. And really, nobody respected him after that. Even though he defended the belt like two or three times after that, he was like one of the most hated champions ever.
Because of
just the way he won the belt. It wasn't, he didn't ask to win it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, he just won it off of disqualification. And then you go to the main card, oh my God. Bo Mickle versus Cody Bundridge, that's going to be a slugfest. Charles Oliveira versus Armand Tassoura. I'm not going to pronounce his name. One of them getting choked out.
Oliveira got to win this fight because his last fight, he lost.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Dubox, he got to win this.
Yeah, I think somebody getting choked out in that one.
Oh, boy.
And for the BMF, the Bad MF Championship, we got Justin Gaethje against Max Bless Holloway.
Justin should win that fight. I don't even see how that fight is really as hyped as it should be.
Yeah,
Justin Gaethje, he needs a more signature fight because he just lost his last fight.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's setting him up for him to win that because Max Holloway is coming up in weight, and you talked ad nauseum how moving up in weight it can always be dangerous for a fighter because he's not you. He's moved up to his weight once before, but he's not used to it. And he's going against a seasoned veteran in Justin Gaethje, who's hungry for a win, like you said. And then we get to the championship fights. Zhang Weili versus Yan. I'm not going to pronounce her last name. I'm not going to do that to her. Two China fighters. Oh, my God.
Woo! Who you got in that one?
I got Zhang Weili.
Yeah, that one that gets blood. Hey, that one that had a hematoma in her head that looked like a bowling ball. What's her name? Zhang Ling, whatever her name is. I don't want to disrespect her name, but the one that's the champion is who I'm going with.
Yeah, and in the main event for the light heavyweight championship, we got Alex Pereira versus Jamahal Hill.
I know that brother talking a lot of mess. He better be able to. You know, but Alex Pereira is subject to getting caught. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's subject. Israel Adesanya put him to sleep, I believe, after he beat Israel the first time.
Yeah.
So this guy, he's subject to getting caught.
Yeah. Something's got to give. Something's got to give, and it is going to. But, yeah, that UFC card, that is the most stacked card I've seen in a long time, if not in UFC history. So, we still on the subject of we still talk about basketball, still talking to NBA, but there was an interruption, fellas. So guess what? I got a trivia. Every time we get an interruption, I'm having a trivia question for you.
Uh-oh.
it'll still be here when you come back, because guess what? I can tell you like this. Only Mark is going to get this one right.
Uh-oh.
I don't expect Mark to get this one right. The rest of y'all, I'm going to stump everybody on this one.
Oh, boy. Here we go. You had this saved in the bag, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. The bag is deep, bro. The bag is deep. Oh, the bag is deep. Okay, so we keeping it on the NBA. I mean, keeping the basketball. We'll go back to college basketball for this one.
Oh, boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Studio W Sports page brought to you by J&J, and I got the bonus trivia question for you. Name me the Flintstones. And I ain't talking about Fred, Barney, and Daphne and all them. I'm not talking about the Martin Stoner's family. I'm talking about NCAA, college basketball. There was a group of four brothers. They were named the Flintstones. Why they named them the Flintstones? Because they were from Flint, Michigan, and three of them won a national championship with Tom Izzo. Matter of fact,
You got Morris Peterson.
Just give me the three.
You got Morris Peterson. That's you got Charlie Bell. You got you got my man.
You got it, Mark. I told you, Mark was gonna get it.
Mateen Cleave.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's it. The Flintstones that won national championship with Tom Izzo, Michigan State. Mateen Cleave, Mo Peterson. Charlie Bell. I forgot the other guy's name, but he graduated a year before them. But those guys were some hoopers. They was balling together, same school and all, ever since elementary school. So that was a good one for you guys. I knew Mark was the only one that was gonna get it right.
That was kind of catchy, actually. I mean, if you sit and think about it, we had Flintstones, and I'm sitting there stumped like, what the hell are you talking about? But then when you threw in Flint, Michigan, they're like, oh, okay. So that was like a perfect little segue you snuck in.
Yeah. I got a, you got me good. Ooh. I gotta give y'all this bonus one. Mm. And this is college. I wanna say, is this college football? No. I'm gonna still keep it college basketball. Since in the NCAA tournament era, there are four teams that have had between men and women. Have 18 combined. Championships. No, Final Four appearances. No, championships. It's championships.
Duke, one of them?
Is Duke one of them? UConn, one of them.
UConn's got to be one.
It's Duke.
UConn's
I know
one.
Duke. North Carolina?
North Carolina's one.
Kansas? No.
Men and women.
Tennessee?
So you got North Carolina.
Tennessee is one.
UConn.
Okay.
Actually, Kevin, you got the hardest one right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that was a shot in the dark.
Yeah, I was ready to say.
I would not have. I mean, my first guess was UConn, too.
I think I might.
I believe Stanford was the other one.
Damn. Ooh, wow.
Huh? Oh, you was out there. We passed that. We talking about who?
Now, what was that question again, man?
Is that what?
Between the men and the women.
Uh-huh.
Most combined NCAA tournament victories.
And it's four of them.
In an NCAA tournament era.
Let's see.
Well, you would have to go with at this point. You'd have to go with UConn. I mean,
yeah, UConn was my first choice.
It's UNC, UConn, Tennessee.
Tennessee ain't never won it. The men ain't never won it.
It was Final Four appearances.
Oh, okay. If you want to do it that way.
Oh, well, then, yeah.
It was Final Four appearances.
You still got to go with UConn. You might, believe it or not, you could probably go with UConn. I would say you probably have to go with Stanford.
That was my other point. That was the one I guessed, too.
What about Duke? You would have to go with, LSU.
That would have been a good one, too.
And I'm going to say, yeah, West Coast team. Hell, they ain't been there, but maybe once or twice, but probably UCLA.
I know it's UConn, UCLA. I had to fact check this one because I think I got it a little bit. I think I was a little bit off.
Oh, yeah, Joe, I just want to say your boy Vic.
You got the look in yourself. So I'm like, okay.
Now, North Carolina, UConn, Tennessee, and I want to say the other one. I want to say the other one was Stanford. That's what I want to say.
I said Stanford because back in the 90s, they had some decent teams, and the women have always usually came out pretty good.
UCLA.
I said them too.
Yeah, that's for the men and the women.
Yeah. Because I think I went with UConn, UCLA, Stanford.
I remember Tennessee was right because Tennessee, the women, that was the only one where the women pretty much carried that whole stat.
Yeah, I think if the men ever got in the Final Four, it's probably back in the 70s, because they surely ain't done nothing in about 40 years that I've known them. They'll get to the Sweet 16, maybe, but I don't think they've ever got to the Final Four.
Russell and them did.
The women, the women was going every year for a while.
I'm talking about UCLA men, Russell and them got to the Final Four.
No, I'm talking about Tennessee.
Tennessee.
I said Tennessee, UCLA, UConn, and Stanford.
I think the last time Tennessee did make the Final Four, I think Bruce Pearl was the coach.
Well, let's talk about
Victor Webbyana.
Yes, what's going on in the West?
Man, Joe was having a great. He done almost got them in the play-in.
Hold up, Joe. I gotta give Joe the flow on this one. This is his guy. Joe, I need to talk about Wemby, bro.
Oh.
Joe getting it to go. Joe, you still on mute, bro. I saw him mute in, I saw him mute out. Joe's still muted. But yeah, those San Antonio Spurs. How can they be that bad record wise? But every time I look, Victor Wembanyama's looking that good.
He's balling.
Well, I mean, like I said, well, you got to remember how they started. They started out rough, but then now it's like now that you're getting into it, you know, they've gotten better as they come along. Sometimes it takes time to develop. So now all of a sudden you turn around, he's like a human highlight almost every night now. I mean, he's getting like...
He might average like 5 blocks a game.
But that's what I'm saying. Now he's really seeing how everything has developed.
What did he have, 30 the other night?
Man, the man got like 30 games where he got to have 5 blocks in the game this season.
That's TV88. It's like a drive-thru joint.
So, I mean, like, I will say, though, don't be surprised if San Antonio, not to say, well, they may cause some problems next year. they may surprise some cats because now they had 21 wins, basically to, you know, almost end the season, which, like I said, I mean, it's a decent progression compared to where they started.
There you go. All right. Yeah, talk about Victor, Joe.
The new face of the league, man. New face of the league. You can deny all you want, but all these veterans and all these
gotta be a Spurs fan.
I'm a Spurs fan, but I knew it.
I can see what you're saying, though.
One thing I gotta say is I'm a real fan of the sports that I like. I'm real. Like, I like my teams, but I'm real first. Like, even when the Cowboys didn't make no moves, I was mad at them for not making no moves. Because why are you not making no moves? But I'm a real fan. I'm not biased just because he's on my team. Bruh is breaking all kind of records, and how is people not...
He is must-see TV, though. He must-see TV.
Exactly. Like, bruh is breaking all kind
of
records.
New face to the league.
Yes. Yes.
Who else?
I can see it.
Who else? Name somebody else. Edwards. Stop it.
I like Edwards. He's nice,
but he is not the face of the league. What is he doing to be the face of the league?
Bruh came in this league at
19 years old, breaking records.
He ain't made it to the playoffs.
So what? He doesn't have a team. We are the youngest team in the league, bruh. You're telling me...
I think OKC might be one of the youngest teams.
But we he are said the youngest team. Team. We are
he
the
say
youngest
one team. Of them. They are the youngest team.
Are they?
Now.
OKC?
No. San Antonio is the youngest team in the NBA.
We are the youngest team in the league. Now, with that being said, name me one superstar that literally had nobody... and took them to the playoffs.
Had nobody?
Like currently? Or all
any,
time?
Any superstar that had nobody and took them to the playoffs.
And
was the youngest team.
Well,
Jimmy Butler. A superstar that did that.
Jimmy Butler wasn't even a superstar. He did it.
I would say LeBron from back.
They were the youngest team?
Well, I don't know if they were like the youngest at the time.
No. It was LeBron. You got to think about it. LeBron did it. He had Ilgauskas. He had.
I mean, but I'm saying, but they didn't have any household. I'm talking about the first time they took him to the finals.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the 2007 version.
Now, I'm not saying that a superstar hasn't taken a bad team to the playoffs. I'm saying everything, the youngest team. Last year, they didn't make the playoffs, so they won a good team, the youngest team, and he came into the league at 19. He just turned 20. And then you talk about he for him to be the face of the league, he's supposed to take them to the playoffs? Like, come on, man. The man is breaking all kind of records.
Yeah, because Jordan was the face of the league before he won a championship.
Well, see, a lot of times, also.
Let's be honest.
But MJ
was the face of the league a couple of years before he got his 21.
To Joe's point, you have to understand, stuff like that doesn't always happen in the first year. Usually by year two, that's when you will see a difference. Wimby was basically, he just got his feet wet. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying?
Exactly.
So now it's almost like, okay, yeah, we were teasing at the time that, okay, like, he's been basically carrying the squad, but they haven't produced any results. Now, as the season is winding down, he's adapted to the game at the way they've been playing. And now, like I said, he's improved in almost every category. The blocks, and I'm going to tell you what, they're going to have a lot more coverage as far as TV-wise next year. Watch what I tell you. And they're going to have there's going to be a decent rivalry going on between San Antonio in OKC.
I've been told you that.
Well, no, but I'm saying it's gonna get more heated next year. That's what I'm saying.
Go ahead. And on top of it, the man has been dancing with a quadruple double many times.
Yeah. He pulled that. Like, at least he's almost had a
quadruple double at least in like four games. Like, I don't understand how people are named that. He's the second person that named Anthony Edwards. Like, bro, we're only hype about him because he be dunking on people. Like, bro still has to elevate his game. He's nice. Don't get me wrong. He's nice. But, bro, we like him. He dunks. And he's on a good team.
I see what Joe trying to say, because, like, who is the most important piece to their team type thing? And hands down, Victor Wembanyama is a more important piece in San Antonio than if Minnesota lose Anthony Edwards. You look at it. Minnesota can still win without Anthony Edwards and get into the playoffs.
Look, and then on top of it, looking at Anthony Edwards, ain't too much. We have to be real. Ain't too much that we can say that we can see him get better at. He's basically showed us what he's going to do and what he does. This man, Victor Wembanyama, is going to get better. And he's already putting up numbers.
Don't let him put a little bit more weight on him, Lord.
Well, like I said, the sky's the limit basically for him.
Exactly. And you hear people talking about him already. Jokic said, man, I had a post and I posted it. He said, he blocked my shot. And I told him, if you block one more shot, I'm a something. And he said, the man turned around and blocked four more of my shots and started laughing. Like, people have been talking about this man already.
But I, you know what? I cannot wait, though, because imagine this. Imagine if Edie from Purdue, when he gets drafted, where he's going to go, I'm going to tell you this right now. Whoever he's going against, they're going to put that matchup on TV somewhere. Wherever Edie is going, watch for that draft. And you see it first.
I mean, San Antonio are locked for a lottery pick. They're going to end up in the top five.
They're going to cause a lot of problems next year.
Yeah.
Edie could fall to them in the top five.
And I'm going to tell you what, wherever he's going.
And that means you move Wemby to the four.
Yeah.
Which means he gets to play with the ball in his hand.
This man should win Defensive Player of the Year. He should. They're probably going to be biased on it, but he should win it. Because he's definitely the league leader in overall defense.
He got, what, over 250 blocks.
And Gobert.
Ain't got nothing but 100.
But
Gobert done had 250 over the last 2 years.
2 years.
But you know, but
the man already didn't pass that and won.
I'm gonna tell you what's even more scarier, Joe. I mean, are we focused to blocks all the time, which is totally gotta be, but you gotta address something else in his arsenal that nobody really talks about.
What, his 3-point shoot?
Yeah.
Yes.
If he works on that, on the offensive end?
You can already tell that he's been working on that throughout the season.
I'm just saying, but just when you put it all together.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah, we're seeing bits and pieces throughout the season. You put that stuff together next year, just imagine how scared, I mean, and dude's over 7 feet. You don't see a whole lot of 7-footers that has a wide repertoire of what he can do.
But see, I might have to counter, might have to contradict that one right there, Kevin, because see.
How?
How? Because when you say that, you're only talking, in my head, when you said what you just said just now, you're referring to the American 7 foot guys.
Yeah.
It's a difference when it comes to overseas 7 foot player, because you already see it with Dejoka, Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Victor, it's a different. They play different than the big man from the United States.
Yeah, because a lot of them, they have to play grown men over there at a young age.
Yeah, and the skill set.
Playing in college.
And everybody on a European team knows how to handle the ball. It ain't just, when you a big man in the States, you're getting taught to work the post.
And then the man got a brother over there.
That yes. Yeah, his man. Brother nice too. 6'8", and he just coming into his own. So it's just like, you know what I'm saying? It's a position. It's the same position, but the position overseas is played different when you're a center.
Yeah.
But just imagine if the American 7-footer takes notes on...
That's what they're doing now, or trying to do. But see, what the American center is called now is the stretch four in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I can definitely see them getting more coverage next year.
Yeah.
They will definitely have more people. And then, of course, wherever Edie's going, they're going to show that on TV. And on top of that, they're going to have more San Antonio against OKC. With Chet Holmgren, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to get more intense. You know, within the next few years.
I said that when we
were. Yeah, because they already came out with the story. They already came out with the story and talking about how they don't like each other.
Yeah, but I didn't. Hold on, didn't I say a couple of months ago this is going to be the matchup for years?
Yep, you did.
That's going to be the matchup for years. Because if you
and, it, and it, they, it's, they, it's they, only they, it's only getting started.
They're the same player. They do the same thing. Yep. So Chet got it a little bit. Jumped on Chet stats-wise earlier in the season were better than Wimby. But all-around performance this year, the way Wimby been balling since the All-Star break, hands down, he's the better player between the two.
And then on top of what another thing that people don't really pay attention to, the main don't even play on average 30 minutes a game. They usually have him around 28, 29.
Spot duty.
And he's doing all and making all these stats.
Spot duty. And he's doing this. In less than 30 minutes.
Yes.
I like it.
Did you see the show he put on a couple of weeks ago against the Knicks? Against my Knicks?
Yeah.
That stat line was crazy.
Yes, it was.
So, guys, what do y'all think about, all right, The way this NBA playoffs is shaping up.
Mm-hmm. As Cody was saying, what do you want to talk about?
The West.
Okay.
Play-in.
All right.
Who's got that?
So, right, okay, let's go through 7 through 10. So, 7 spot goes to the Suns. Lakers, they won last night against the Grizzlies, so they actually moved up to 8. Right. So Sacramento and Golden State, they're at 9 and 10.
All right.
So right now, if the playoffs, after tomorrow, if the standing's still the same, Golden State will have to play Sacramento. The loser is out of the playoffs.
Well, not that Golden State.
So the winner of the 9-10 matchup plays the loser of the 7-8 matchup, which is the Lakers at Phoenix. So let's say, for example, if the Lakers lose, they still get another chance at getting the 8 seed. So the winner of the 7-8 matchup gets the 7 seed. So let's say if the Suns beat the Lakers, the Suns got the 7 seed no matter what. And they play the 2 seed, which is the Timberwolves. The Lakers have one more shot at getting the 8 seed if they play the winner of the Sacramento Golden State game.
Well, bye-bye Lakers, because if Sacramento beat Golden State,
okay,
no way LA is beating
Sacramento. So let's say, for example, if Sacramento wins. Sacramento has to, so the winner of the 9-10 game has to play a second game to try to get the AC.
I know.
So, okay. So let's say, in your case, Sacramento wins. Sacramento has to win both games to get to the AC. So Sacramento will play OKC. So let's take your argument, Romar. Mm-hmm. Sacramento plays OKC. And Phoenix plays the Timberwolves.
And you could possibly see a one beat, an eight beating a one. Because Sacramento, don't sleep on that Sacramento squad. And I'm going to say this, because Sabonis can get Chet in a lot of get Chet in a lot of foul trouble.
Yeah.
Sabonis a beast. And then you do not know which Malik Monk you're going to get coming off the bench or from game to game.
I thought he was out. I think he's out for the rest of the season, isn't he?
I don't know about that.
If he's out,
that's going to hurt Sacramento.
Yeah.
That'll hurt Sacramento right there if he out.
So basically, De'Aaron Fox has to show up.
And
Sabonis.
Sabonis got shit. But see, they got the 3-point shooter, though, too. The
boy Keegan Murray.
Yeah.
Keegan Murray.
And he ain't been showing up. And if he show up, because he ain't been doing it all year long. But you know, most people that don't show up during the season, their team getting the playoffs, that's when they find their stride. And if he found
They're going to need Malik Monk, though. They're going to need him.
Yeah, he's a big piece.
Yeah.
They're going to need him.
Right.
But so, if they had Monk going into that scenario drew out like that, Sacramento upset OKC.
Okay, the Wizards play the Celtics, the Hornets play the Cavs, the Hawks play the Pacers, Raptors against the Heat, Bulls versus the Knicks, the Bucks versus the Magic, Nets versus Sixers, Nuggets and Grizzlies, Suns versus Timberwolves, Lakers versus Pelicans, Mavs versus the Thunder, Pistons versus Spurs, Jazz versus Warriors, Rockets versus Clippers, Trailblazers versus Kings. So there's a lot of basketball going on tomorrow that a win or a loss here that can change things out there in the West, especially in the West. So if they ended, I'm going to the standings now. If they ended today, and the way y'all got this, way it's panned out, y'all got Sacramento going from ninth spot to the eighth spot.
Mm-hmm.
Got them against OKC.
Yeah.
They going home. Who going home?
Who going home in that playoff series?
Yeah.
The Kings. Between OKC and who?
Sacramento. Sacramento get in and get the eighth seed.
See, a lot of stuff depends on tomorrow.
We said that, but the thing is, we gotta figure out the play-in.
I think OKC will win that series, but I think I mentioned it a week ago. The problem with OKC is they don't have no big man.
Yeah, they just run.
Sabonis is probably going to look like Shaq out there with the double doubles he's going to get.
Yeah.
But they don't have Malik Monk, which is going to be a problem. If he's in, then I think Sacramento will win that series, to be honest with you, because the lack of a big, you can't, I mean, you got to, OKC, for them not to have made a move to get Andre Drummond, something, it's mind boggling. They need a big man. They can shoot all night, but at some point it's going to catch up.
Yeah,
that might be more intriguing than you think because, again, regular season is one animal, but now when the playoff comes around, that's when the experience where players course.
Well, here's the thing. Sacramento get Malik Monk back. There's no doubt in my mind they're winning that series.
What I say?
Yeah, no doubt in my mind. It's again, Joe. I think brought it up a week ago. Man, missing a big man, it can be a problem. Yeah. Chet Holmgren ain't the answer to that. The dude, I mean, Sabonis is a beast.
Yeah, he's gonna put that body on check and get him into foul trouble.
Well, he'll be out of there early. If you get that Keegan Murray starts hitting, you got De'Aaron Fox is averaging 27 a game. I mean, the only, you know, if Monk plays, I'm going with Sacramento. They just cut and dry. If Monk plays, I'm going with Sacramento.
So you basically, tomorrow, you got three games to keep an eye on because those might affect 1, 2, and 3. We're going to have a whole different conversation by this time next week.
Well, and, see, yeah. Denver losing last night messed everything up.
Yeah. I'm trying to, who did they lose to?
Yeah, because they had a top spot.
And they lost to the Spurs, I think.
And then they lost last night. Oh. Now they dropped from 1 to 3.
Yeah. The Spurs beat them by 1. And then, let me see. Somebody, the Clippers lost last night by 1 to the Jets. Oh, to your favorite squad, Mel, the one you don't like.
The Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
Somebody, the Clippers lost to Utah last night?
They lost by 1 point.
See, this is where, this is where the BS kicks in, man, because.
Yeah, nobody's playing, nobody's taking these last couple of games seriously.
Or they might want to. The Phoenix lose. Did they end up losing last night?
The Suns beat the Kings by 1 point.
Damn. Because see, that
Kings haven't been taking the season serious.
See,
they're more worried about being healthy.
That's the thing.
The Lakers got to win tomorrow because if they win tomorrow, they need a Phoenix to lose. To be honest, because if Phoenix lose. That would have put them in, let me think, which spot? Like six or seven?
And the funny thing is the Lakers won last night against the Grizzlies, which actually moved them up to 8th. So the Lakers got the 8th spot right now because of their victory, and the other two lost.
So if they won tomorrow and Phoenix lost, how would that put them?
Move LA up to the 7th seed.
And they wouldn't have to be in a play-in, right?
Wait, LA can't catch Phoenix. Phoenix is 2 games ahead.
So basically, okay, but say either or, even if the Suns and Lakers win, they both still got to play each other for the 7th seed. Now, let's say, for example, if the Lakers win, all right, so you know what that means. Anyway, Mark, all right, so no, let me get him marking this. So if the Lakers win, right, Lakers get the 7th seed. If they lose, they still got one more chance to get the 8th seed, which means the winner of the 9-10 game, which is a Sacramento against Golden State, will play the Lakers. And the Lakers will be playing at home, actually. So,
well, I can tell you now, the Lakers don't want to play Sacramento. That's just, they don't.
I think Sacramento swept them. Yeah,
they don't want to play Sacramento. I can tell you now.
Okay, so you heard that chime in, which means I have another trivia question.
I know, right?
What NCAA basketball team had? No, I tell you, I gotta go to college. I know this one's accurate. I have to go to the NFL because we're gonna talk NFL on off the rails before we go off the rails. Give me in the NFL in the draft era, which dates back to 1970. This is a good one because if y'all Google it, it's gonna give you the wrong answer first. In the NFL draft era, which began in 1970, give me the team that has the most draft picks in a single draft.
The Minnesota Vikings.
No, the NCAA team.
The NCAA. Okay, I can tell you. It's going to be.
You said Kentucky?
Nope.
No.
College football.
Uh-huh.
Common draft era, which dates back to 1970. Give me the school with the most draft selections in a single draft.
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
Ohio State.
I'm going to say the Oklahoma Sooners.
now. Anybody else want
to? I'm going to say Miami. I'm going to say Miami.
Those are all good ones.
Unless it's Nebraska.
Nebraska's a good guess, too, but it's not the right. That's not the correct answer. All right.
What, a USC?
No, Texas. There it is. The Texas Longhorns.
Texas. You had to think about it. Texas ran shot back then.
I want to say it was the 1984, 1986 Texas Longhorns. They had 17 draft picks.
You got to think about it back then, and that during the 80s, that little Big South or Big 12 and what it's called now, all the talent in NCAA went down there to play from Nebraska, Texas, Oklahoma State. That's where all the bread and butter was.
And see, this is why my dad does not like doing these trivia questions with me, because you got to pay attention to the entire question. I said since the common draft era back in the 1970s. Now, if you Google it, it's going to give you the Georgia Bulldogs from a couple of years ago that had 15. But see, the thing about it is they redid that stat since they truncated the draft from 12 rounds to 7 rounds.
Yeah.
So the Georgia Bulldogs, since the 7-round draft era, has a record with 15. But the overall record was the Texas Longhorns, because they had 17, but it was a 12-round draft back then.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Penn State had a lot of players get drafted out of there, too, in 1 year.
All right, but, so who has the most first-round picks in a single draft?
Oh, that's the U.
Oh, my goodness.
That's got to be Miami.
I think it's Miami and a tie with Alabama with 6. It's a tie. They had both of them had it's a tie for that lead. I want to say it is Miami, and I want to say it is Alabama Crimson Tide. Georgia's a close one. If they didn't get 6, they got 5. But yeah, that's the. I thank y'all for that trivia question. I'm going to have more for y'all on that next week. But, yo, guys, back to basketball. OKC's number one. They're going to take out Sacramento. Minnesota Timberwolves, they'll probably have to take on the Phoenix Suns. They watch. Is that one to watch, too?
I got Phoenix in that.
You got Phoenix over Anthony Edwards?
Yeah.
And your boys.
Experience matters when it comes to the playoffs.
And what experience does the Phoenix Suns have?
The players on the team.
What players? Where are the winners?
Where's the chemistry at?
Don't say Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant's a
mercenary. Outside of KD, who else you got? Well, okay, Devin Booker.
Chris Paul hurt again, right?
No, he ain't going to State now.
He still hurt. You know, man. But either way, they're not getting hurt.
I got Phoenix over. Minnesota.
Okay, that's cool. I just want to see if you had any more rhyme or reason behind that. But ain't no wrong answer.
Yeah, see, you got to think.
Ain't no wrong answers yet. You got to think
about it. If Phoenix going to that matchup with a healthy Bradley Beal, it's over with.
That's the problem.
I just got a hard time believing in the Phoenix Suns, man.
That's no stock. I'm sorry.
I don't care who they held. They have had stacked rosters
and they've been cursed.
They're habitual bedwetters. I mean, habitual bedwetters.
Okay.
That's all they do. They know how to screw things up.
We just creating new words on the fly, aren't we?
They just know they Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix even. I don't care if it's the Suns, the Coyotes, or the Cardinals. They find a way to screw it
They're
up.
They're cursed. Let's just keep it 1,000.
They don't. That's a place that doesn't deserve to have nice things at all.
It's bad enough that it's hot. Like,
yeah. Then they try to take away Martin Luther King Day. So I'm out on Phoenix. I'm out on Arizona. I can't give them no flowers, bro. Because I pour water in the ground, grass don't grow there. Yeah, I can't do it.
All you're going to see is cactuses.
Yeah, I'm, I'm, I'm,
I'm thirsty to think about this guy. Think about something else. All right, that three seed. The Denver Nuggets got who?
The Pelicans. Pelicans against the Nuggets.
Oh, they sweeping up. Zion and crew might give you one. They might give you one. They might show some how to give you one, but Denver's going through that. Now, the 4 and the 5 seed is who?
The Mavericks against the Clippers.
Ooh.
Now, that's the most interesting one out of the 8.
Yeah. Give me the Mavericks.
See? Everybody was cracking on WB last week because when he made that pick, he said, see, look. But like I said, now all of a sudden, Kyrie and Luka are getting more dangerous.
I can see that. I'm going to give this one for the conspiracy theorists. Mm-hmm. I can see in the world this year where they're going to have they're going to have Luka versus the Joker in the showdown in the playoffs.
And look, but get this. But here's the one thing that they finally starting to do after all these years. You want to know what that is?
What?
They're playing defense.
Yes.
Matter of fact, and I'm going to give you this one stat, though,
The Mavericks just lost by 20 to Detroit last night.
Okay, but look, here's the thing. Well, they're not going to lose any seeding behind that.
They're not taking the game seriously.
But, okay.
Detroit?
But, okay, that to them is meaningless because Mavericks already gotten 50 wins. So they're not going to lose any more seedings. They're not going to catch. They're not going to catch the 4. They're not going to lose to the 6. So either way, they're basically resting the starters.
Just like a bunch of guys. All
right.
Got two guys that should have rested. Those two guys from the Bulls that messed up that self alley-oop the other night.
Oh, that was
Andre Drummond and how they messed up that alley-oop fast break. Won't nobody run.
Wow.
Tossed the ball to himself and
Drummond wondered, hey, you was throwing it to me.
Yeah. Did I say I was throwing it to you? Bleep, bleep.
But I'm going to tell you who gonna cause problems in the East with any matchup right now.
Who?
The Knicks. Nobody want to see them.
Not the heat of Jalen Brunson been on.
Nobody wants to see the Knicks. They're going to mess up. They're going to cause a lot. They're going to make a lot of noise in the East in the playoffs.
I don't see him getting past the second round. Are you telling me they're coming out of the East then?
I ain't saying that, but have you seen the chemistry that they have with the Villanova boys? They all done got settled in with each other, and OB or OG or whatever.
OB Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, he playing. He fitting in and everything. Like they are a well-oiled machine right now.
Keep in mind, Julius Randle's out.
That makes it even better because you ain't got nobody that's demanding the ball that's gonna force the game instead of letting the game come to him.
So are you saying that because now they beat Boston?
No, I'm not just saying that. I like the Knicks and I have watched them the last two seasons. The last two seasons with Jalen Brunson says a lot.
Yes, it does.
Put it like this. From year one to year two with Jalen Brunson there, they have been a better team. And they have put the pieces around Jalen Brunson to be able for him to control the game and for him to do what he does.
So how far are you taking?
They can get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, okay.
Against Boston? Presumably?
Who's to say that Boston gonna make it that far? Because regardless of the fact, Boston split with the Knicks this year.
That's true.
They didn't sweep them.
I don't see somebody else making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Because I don't think the East is all that good.
The East ain't that, they ain't that strong.
And I still feel like whoever even makes it to the finals from the East, they're going to lose.
Exactly. Because, so, I mean, the West is so stacked.
I think Boston is going to make it, though.
The way they've been talking, they already hyped up the Celtics against the Nuggets. That's what they're saying already.
That's what I think it's going to be.
And if Boston does not close the door this time, there's got to be some changes.
Well, I'm going to tell you like this. I think the Miami Heat, they're going to beat the Pacers in the play-in.
Well, I'm going
to
tell you
that would force the Pacers to play the Celtics.
What's going to hurt the Celtics in the playoffs? And I'm going to say this. Letting Marcus Smart go is going to cost them in the playoffs.
Yeah. I disagree.
It's going to cost them.
I disagree. Because Drew Holiday's an upgrade.
He might be an upgrade, but
he's an upgrade.
You can't count on the intangibles and the things that Marcus Smart does.
And where's Marcus Smart at now?
He in Memphis, but he hurt.
Now I think that was a huge upgrade. I think the only thing that's gonna stop Boston is for real.
It's themselves.
Because Marcus, yeah. over this season, Drew Holiday has provided everything Marcus Smart has provided in the past, and he's a better scorer. I trust the ball with Drew Holiday in Drew Holiday's hands way more than I ever would Marcus Smart. I've always said when you put the ball in Marcus Smart's hands, he does dumb stuff. He makes dumb decisions with the ball in his hands. He can be on my squad any day of the week. Marcus Smart with off the ball is awesome. He's great moving off the ball without the ball. When you put the ball in Marcus Smart's hands, that's when he's in trouble.
So you call it not a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, he proved it. I had to get there. Last year, Dad thought I was crazy. I was saying it as Marcus Smart was doing something stupid. Ain't that right, Dad?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I was saying it right when he was doing it.
Yeah, you call that. What's going to cost the Celtics a loss in the playoffs is Jason Tatum is going to have one of those regular games where he does not show up.
Yeah.
And that's one thing he does. He be doing stuff, and then one game, he's like, what is he doing? He ain't doing nothing. Yeah. And that's what's going to cost him. And I think that's what's going to cost him in the finals. I think they're going to make it to the finals, but that's what's going to cost him in the finals.
That's what cost him in the Golden State finals.
Yep. Yeah.
He get in his own head.
So, then I got the Heat moving to the seventh spot, and that's a rematch with the Milwaukee Bucks.
I
am a Bucks fan.
You are?
Yeah, I root for the Bucks more than anybody else. I mean, well, I'm on the bandwagon. I mean,
and here's where I hate to say this. Ever since they fired Griffin, they've been suspect ever since.
Yes, that's why I would say they about Boston. I mean, Milwaukee is still going to be one and done. I got Milwaukee one and done. The chemistry is not there.
And Giannis dealing with the injury to his leg.
We might not even see Giannis this year.
And weren't they the top seed last year and got knocked off by the Heat?
Yeah.
So there you go. That still haunts them. And that's why they don't talk about it.
Playoff Jimmy ain't nothing to sneeze at, man.
A matchup I would want to see in the playoffs is the Sixers and the Knicks.
Oh yeah, the Sixers playing the Knicks.
Bad Philly.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I wouldn't put that to bed yet.
I would not write them off just yet. If Embiid get back to how he was playing before the injury, that would be hard.
All right, see, Philly, they're 7-3 in their last 10.
But, okay.
New York is 6-4 in their last 10.
Now, think about this way. You still got the Bulls and the Hawks in the 9-10 spot. Neither one of them is going to get anywhere.
I'm about to say, I'm watching them. I ain't even talking about the 9-10 spot. They ain't doing nothing with that.
So, and they got the worst records in the play-in period. Like, how you go, what is it, 36?
He's going to beat the Pacers. And the Pacers is going to wash whoever between the Bulls and the Hawks.
So basically, let's say if the Heat wins the seventh seed, Philly is going to play Boston in the first round.
Yeah.
Hey,
To be honest, it don't matter. Whoever from 7 to 10, all those teams lose in the first round.
Yeah, because they're fighting for a spot.
There's no way Philly's playing Boston in the first round.
If. But only if.
Philly's in the sixth spot. There's no way they can drop to eighth.
No.
They're not even playing in the play-in.
Right now, Philly's in the seventh spot.
Last night, basically gave them a way out of the play-in because they were in the seventh.
Right now, the Pacers got the sixth spot right now.
The Pacers?
Yes.
So Philly is in the play-in right now.
Yeah, exactly. Philly's number seven. So the Heat are playing the Sixers to get the seventh seed. So if let's say
they got it,
but either way, I don't see the Bulls or the Hawks getting anywhere past the play-in anyway. I don't see it. That would be a major upset if the Hawks or Bulls leapfrog over Philly and Miami.
See, you got ESPN.com, right?
Yes.
It depends on NBA. You on ESPN. NBA.com got the 76ers in the sixth spot. And the Pacers seven and Heat eight. All of them got the same. The Sixers and the Pacers got the same record.
Right. But I guess it all depends on the conference play, the home and away, or whatever.
Weird. That's the disparaging thing. So I don't know who we go with, ESPN.com or NBA.com.
I'm not sure. But either way you look at it.
You don't go, it's talking about the NBA. Why not go? How can you disparage their own website?
Either way you look at it, it's going to be solved by tomorrow. By 6 o'clock tomorrow, all the seeds going to be
done. We got to have some better answers. Right now,
and that's why we're here.
Kind of scrambled right now.
That's why we're here. We're here to try to dissect everything.
Okay, so we gotta get out here in a few minutes. So, Cavaliers and Magic. Do we need to talk about that one? That's actually gonna be kind of interesting. I got the Magic also. Ooh. I mean, it's too even the Magic. All this
about man.
I think Cleveland.
Can't go wrong with Cleveland either.
I don't know.
Colin Sexton on board, Jared Allen. I mean, that's going to be a scrappy game. But just nobody's talking about it. There's real no it factor because
Donovan Mitchell doesn't jump out at you.
Yeah. Donovan Mitchell is not the starter everybody thought he was going to be. Paolo Banchero, he's coming.
I mean, it's not.
But he's coming at a bad time. He's coming at a bad time because Paolo Banchero's up and coming along with the Victor Wembanyama. Chet Holmgren He's not going to over. No matter what Paolo Banchero is going to do, he's not going to overshadow those guys unless he wins the championship first. That's the only way he's going to overshadow those guys. So they're going to be under the radar until then. He's number three must see is the best that he can go for. Before we get out here. Lamar Jefferson said, Phoenix is a big disappointment, a bigger disappointment than my 76ers. Hey, watch out for your 76ers. They might be able to turn some things around. But guys, it's time for us to get on out here. It's going 11:30. We're going to be back here around 2:30, between
2:30.
Yeah, 2:30, Kevin. 2:30 is good enough for you?
Yeah, that's good.
2:30, we'll be back with the Studio W Sports page. Yo, Joe, for Sid, the Boss Guru, Mark Daniels, I thank everybody for joining us. All right, Emma, thank you for chiming in. Also, Lamar Jefferson, thank you for chiming in. Hey, I'm going to come 2:30. We'll be back here. I'm putting a link in the comments. It's going to get wild. It's going off the rails. So if I don't catch y'all this evening, hey, I'll just see y'all in church tomorrow. Go.
Part 2.